Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in.
Welcome to this week's podcast. So today we have a bit of an interesting topic topic to delve into. And we're going to talk about Easter celebrations and the possible lessons to be learned, specifically the importance of teaching our kids skills like moderation, delayed gratification, and also mindfulness.
Yes. Just hearing you say that, gosh, stimulating.
Yeah.
Moderation.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Easter's a really tricky time for parents. On one hand, we want our kids to enjoy the festivities and the excitement of the Easter bunny.
Yes,
But on the other hand, health-conscious parents often grapple with the issue of too much sugar. How was it for you when your kids were little?
Yeah, look, Easter was always a real conundrum for me, especially when they were little, not as they got older, but when they were little, because I wanted them to have fun. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to get excited about the Easter bunny, but I also was pretty mindful about their sugar intake. Mm-hmm. I made the decision to pretty much avoid Easter celebrations initially with my daughter when she was young anyway, my firstborn. Mm-hmm. And it worked for a while. My daughter didn't even realise that there was chocolate under the shiny tin foil that she was holding whenever she was given an Easter egg, probably until she was about four. So I used that to my advantage. It's very different for the second child because obviously he knew a lot sooner about chocolate. Yeah. But for her, that was kind of my approach, was to take control while I was able to.
Yeah. So how did you transition as she got older? Like, how did you support her to have Easter eggs in moderation?
Yeah. So I suppose as the years passed and I had less and less control, I had to relax a little bit and allow my kids to experience Easter. I know you're relating to every word I'm saying.
Totally.
You know, Easter did become a time to celebrate, but also as an opportunity to teach them about moderation and the choices that they were making. I really believe that learning through experience is really important for a child's development. So that's what we did.
Yeah, totally. I'm a huge advocate for educating your kids and letting them learn from their experiences.
Well,
there's some situations obviously where we need to step in for their safety, like you're not going to let a kid run across the road or touch a hot plate to learn something. But in the case of Easter eggs, where they're not going to get physically hurt, but they're going to kind of get a clear link of eating 10 Easter eggs and how they feel after, I think it's a safe space to teach them about choices.
Yeah.
And I think it's about setting expectations and kind of letting them know, you know, just however many Easter eggs in a day or whatever your family rules are, and educating them on the consequences, you know, how they're going to feel, what that amount of sugar does to their body, and then supporting them through the decisions they make. And, I mean, kids, like especially to begin with, are probably not going to make great decisions. You know, some of them will scoff all the Easter eggs. And when I say supporting them through their decisions, what I mean is we're not there standing back saying, hey, I told you so. It's more, oh, man, this is how I feel if I have too much sugar.
Yes.
I wonder if you've got a headache and your tummy feels really bad because of all the eggs.
Yeah, so we had definitely, as you're talking, I'm thinking of one occasion where we were away with another family, and so the kids did the Easter egg hunt. They gathered all of the eggs. My daughter got stuck in like chocolate before breakfast was real. And then as the day went on, she just started feeling sick. Mm-hmm. And while everyone else was running around still having fun, she was sat on a stool in front of the toilet basically for the whole afternoon. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she learnt a lot from that day.
I know. Mm. And it's not, we're not saying this is, it's, you want your kids to link things.
Yeah.
Really important. Link what they eat, yes, with how they feel. Link what they do with how they, yeah, feel.
Well, as and I said, from that point onwards, she learned that if she ate a huge amount of chocolate like she did that day,
yeah,
in one sitting,
yeah,
it was going to make her feel sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my belief has always been better that they learn it themselves.
Yes.
Rather than us teaching and them never get the opportunity, absolutely, to learn it.
Mm.
So I think learning through experience is essential for the development of their decision-making skills. Mm, mm. You know, like they need to be learn with these small, low-risk,
yes,
things, because, yeah, as they grow, they face more significant decisions. Like as teenagers, they'll have decisions around sex, drugs, alcohol, driving, mm-hmm, you know, really decisions that can put their life at risk. So, yeah, you want to give them practice at decision making all through their life, because the ability to make decisions and understand the consequences of those decisions is a skill that develops, mm, over time.
Yeah.
And if we shield our kids from every mistake or consequence until they're older, they might struggle when they're faced with these important decisions in their teens. And you've got to think, when they're teenagers, they've also got that peer pressure.
Yes.
You know, so we want them to, we want to make that decision-making capability really strong.
Mm.
So by allowing them to make choices and learn from those choices from a young age, I think we're preparing them for more significant decisions as, yeah, they grow.
Yeah, 100%.
So another thing that you can focus on at Easter time, and it's a hugely important skill, and it's to delay gratification.
Yeah.
So delayed gratification is a vital skill that kind of sets your kid up for life, really. Yeah. Children who learn to delay gratification are more likely to succeed in relationships, education, work, and overall life. They're able to make decisions for the long term, so they're able to think long term rather than just that immediate right now.
Mm.
And a study that followed people for 40 years after, it was called the marshmallow experiment. So they did an experiment with a few four-year-olds, and they put a marshmallow in front of the four-year-olds, and they said to the four-year-olds, hey, if you wait, we'll give you another one. And they watched to see which kids waited. And then they followed up right up to 40 years after and found that the people in the study that were able to delay gratification as four-year-olds had better health, relationships, and were generally more successful in life.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, that is incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting study.
Yeah, totally. So it's about resisting the temptation of an immediate reward for the greater reward later, which when you think of it, it affects so many things like health, working out, yep, study.
Yeah.
You know, that ability to kind of go saving money, mm, like so many things,
yeah,
that when you learn to do it, they set you up for life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you say delayed gratification, you mean like encouraging the child to wait before they scoff all their eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And even to have, like, I remember this, I'm one of four.
Yes.
And we didn't get many Easter eggs. We got one big one and then maybe 10 little ones.
Yeah.
But we learned, I remember there was me and one or two, because I had me and three brothers, and we would delay gratification, so we would save our eggs,
yes,
for like weeks after.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, so I think it's just kind of teaching your kids they can do that. That's, yeah, an option. You know, you can, you don't have to have them all now.
Yes.
You can put them, some in the fridge or up in the cupboard where, yep, you can't see them. And so it's,
I remember not wanting to upset the foil was my most vivid, yeah, memory. So that really drove me to delay actually ripping them open, because I didn't want, like, if I had a bunny shaped one, I wanted it to stay, yeah, like a bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then usually it was like the threat of my stepdad eating my chocolate egg.
Oh, and I like that you say that. So, yeah, something that's really important when we're teaching our kids delayed gratification is that they can rely on that Easter egg being how they left it.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so they learn that if they wait, it'll be as they left it. If someone's taken it from them, they're going to be less likely to delay gratification.
Interesting.
So it's got to be reliable.
Yeah.
And even you can teach them skills for how to delay gratification.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. It's, look, it definitely in today's fast-paced world, it's just getting harder and harder, isn't it, to delay gratification and teach that skill because, you know, in our day, if we wanted to learn about a topic, we'd have to go to the library or find a library book.
Yeah.
You know, these days we just open our phones and we have an instant answer.
Yeah.
It's just everything from ordering Uber Eats to fast food restaurants that just weren't around when we were growing up. So,
movies, whatever TV show.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, music. Like instead of having, like we're really showing our age here, but, you know, instead of waiting for the radio host to get to the next song so you could quickly press record and record your favourite song.
Yeah.
Now, the minute you want to hear a song, you just, open up Spotify. Siri. Yeah, or open up Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony Robbins mentions the pleasure principle and the reality principle. Could you shed some light on this and how that relates to delayed gratification? Because these analogies, like, you know, what you've just spoken about with the marshmallow experiment, tell me about this Tony Robbins theory.
So the ability to resist immediate rewards is influenced by the balance between seeking pleasure and considering risks versus reward. So when Tony Robbins is talking about the pleasure principle, he's talking about how our brains are wired to seek out pleasure and avoid pain.
Yes.
And yet delaying gratification means that sometimes we do the opposite.
Right.
We wait and we don't go straight towards pleasure. We, like if you think of the gym, we go towards pain, we lift more.
Yes.
And in the long term, it's better off. But our brain wants us to always do the easy thing.
Right.
You
interesting.
Know, seek out the sugar, seek out the good feelings.
Yep.
And it doesn't, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm, very interesting.
Yeah.
I especially love the marshmallow experiment. That's incredible, especially as the study went for such a long period of time. It wasn't just weeks or months later, it was 40 years, wasn't it?
Totally. Yeah. And they did it, so they did that experiment, then they did another one after, and that's where they promised the kids a reward of crayons.
Right.
And the kids that waited, and then they broke that into two sections. Some they gave the kids the crayons and some they didn't. And so the kids that had waited and got the crayons learnt to delay gratification because they got the reward.
Mm.
But the kids that delayed gratification and didn't get the crayons were less likely to delay gratification again because they didn't get the reward.
Right.
Mm. So interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So now let's touch upon another skill that complements delayed gratification, and that's mindfulness.
Yes.
It's a skill that benefits definitely both physical and mental well-being.
Yeah.
So how can parents support their kids developing mindfulness, especially in the context of enjoying, Easter treats like chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies and all the chocolate?
Yes. Oh, man. So I guess mindfulness is a skill that we all need, I think, and it can start with simple things like savouring food.
Yep.
Like we've spoken about this a lot, how you can invite your kids to really to tell you what the food tastes like, to kind of slow down and chew food.
What flavours they can sense, sweet, salty.
Yes. Mm. And even with the chocolate, like can you really taste it? Can you hold it in your mouth?
Mm.
And can you savour it and appreciate each bite rather than just kind of
inhaling it?
Yeah. And not even tasting it, you know?
Like my daughter did the day she ended up in front of the toilet all day.
Yeah. And inviting them to save some for later.
Yeah.
Teaching mindfulness supports kids in making better decisions, considering long-term consequences and developing impulse control, which again helps like over their lifespan.
Whole life.
And I think mindfulness teaches us how to be present, teaches us how to live moment by moment as well.
It's definitely clear that, delayed gratification and mindfulness are very interconnected and extremely crucial, I've just learned, for a child's development. I knew that they were important. I didn't know they were quite so important, I suppose. So as a wrap up to today's discussion, do you have any final thoughts or advice for parents kind of navigating the Easter season?
Yeah, I guess I would encourage parents to embrace Easter as a joyful moment, but also a teaching opportunity.
Yeah.
So use it to educate your kids about choices, moderation, delayed gratification, and mindfulness, because these skills will not only serve them well during Easter, but also lay the foundation for success in many areas of their lives. Mm,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. That was so good. I learned so much. I don't know about you listening, but I definitely learned a bit there. So thanks. I hope you found that as enlightening as I did.
Bye.
See ya. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.